Hour two underway, and out comes Hornswoggle.
No, come on. If you don't like this entrance music, then I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, we missed the boom part there. Next time we play that, we got to do that together.
Who is this?
Well, we had this discussion last week. It is the Undisputed Era, or Adam Cole, depending on who you want to assign credit to. The Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Yep. That's fine. I mean,
New Jack?
Hey, at least he didn't say Hot Shot. So you're getting better. Getting better.
Man, yeah.
Smarter every day, dude.
I learned something.
Every day.
Let's learn something for a little bit. We started off real hot with K-State football stuff.
Hey, here it comes. Another boom. Ready?
Boom!
I mean, I don't get it.
I enjoyed it. I had fun.
Hopefully everybody else loves it. What's going on with K-State basketball right now? Anything exciting? What is the number one thing on your head when it comes to K-State basketball?
It's good news that David Sloan arrived a couple weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago. He does have a broken left wrist, but it's not a shooting hand, so it's good to know that everybody got here. You know, I think last year we had to wait a while for Shawneil Williams to arrive, and that probably set him back a little bit. And now there's a couple guys, Dejuan Gordon, you know, because of the Team USA stuff, and David Sloan because of the wrist injury that there was some fear. It would have been a great thing if like we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. If Dejuan Gordon had made Team USA, that wouldn't have been a problem. But there was certainly an easy-to-see scenario where two of those four guys weren't going to be available. And now, you know, Dejuan Gordon's back in Manhattan, which is great. And Sloan, while, you know, broken left wrist limits what he can do, can still do more than maybe there was some hope for when he got here. So it's no news kind of is good news. Everyone has arrived on time early, able to get ready for next year. That's it.
And I know football season is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
You know, it's not a knock on football at all, but I'm just more of a basketball
guy.
When it gets to October, November, you know, I'm not necessarily ready for football to just be completely over, but I am really itching for basketball. I know, you know, it's
like, how excited do you get for that first, like, exhibition against Fort Hayes every year? Like, is that an
I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying,
like, that's like a moment, like, oh, look at that. It always sneaks up on you where you're at a game, and then they kind of tell you a week in advance, like, by the way, at this game against, you know, Baylor this weekend, they're going to have the open practice, and you think, oh, it's time for that already.
I think I missed the first two or three games of last season because I was out doing high school football stuff.
Do you wish they were better split? I mean, and I'm not saying I don't have the answer to it. I don't think you can push it back. You know what I mean? So I know why they're the same time, but in a perfect world, wouldn't it be great if it was just football, you know, basically August through December, January,
yeah.
And then you didn't, because those first couple, that first, you know, non-conference of basketball more or less really gets overshadowed by college football.
Here's what they should really do, and it's not going to happen, but you limit it to, you play like three games out of conference, and then you just play everybody in your conference three times.
Whoa.
And you just can rotate who gets to play the two at home each year.
That'd make it really tricky from like a computer metric perspective, though, because there'd be no non-conference games to base the conferences on.
Yeah, who cares?
It's a good, see, I like it. Let's just,
because
so
then we
round,
can just throw the important round schools
Robin,
in there anyways.
And we could really have one true champion.
One true champion.
I mean, K-State and Tech third time. Where would it have been? You know, I mean, who knows how the rotation would have worked?
Probably, like, Stillwater High.
You think you could play neutral site?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
That'd be fun.
This is a good segment
Sound like fun?
This is a good segment so far.
We're fixing college basketball over here.
You know, I could easily just try to chime in and maybe repeat things you guys just said. I'm going to save myself and just go ahead and say I was half listening.
Okay,
no, you weren't
listening
at all. I looked over you the whole time and he's on his phone.
Did
you make a pick while we were doing that?
As in a pick on Tinder, yes.
Wow.
Hey, I'm glad we brought him in here.
Give us the stats. What'd she shoot from the field last year?
We didn't quite get there yet.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, you'll find out.
That'll be the
point,
next question.
You know?
Three-star? Four-star?
5.45. Oh, this is getting too far. You know, that starts to become, you know,
sneaking into maybe an underdog.
Three-star on Rivals has five offers from Power Fives.
Okay.
Wasn't, but on this note, wasn't Tom Hanks in, like, Mermaid?
Oh, you're thinking Splash.
Splash. That's Splash, what it's called. Yes. Tom Hanks was in Splash. That was a good one, too.
That was,
I didn't,
like,
know the title, but
that was like very,
way
very
early.
Like,
I was trying to show off how early I knew his stuff. But I said Mermaid.
That might have been his second movie. I think Big was his first. Splash might have been his first.
It might have been. Did Big scare you when you were little?
No.
It scared me a little bit.
The only thing that would
Zoltan.
Yeah.
It kind of scared me. And the idea that he felt a little bit trapped at some point, it felt a little scary to me as a kid. What are you looking up over there?
I was seeing what our boy Jabroni John was up to. He's just tweeting about what he would change about K-State, you know, because not a Manhattan guy anymore,
correct,
I guess.
Correct. Like, you give John a chance to talk about what he would change about K-State, and he's like, how much time do you have?
Actually, he's pretty good, and I agree with him. He said, Wildcats can stay, but add a live Bobcat. I agree. If we just trot out a live Bobcat again.
How about we go opposite and just go funny and get, like, a little kitty?
Well, no.
Like a fun little kitten. That'd be so cute, man.
Not a cat guy.
Yeah, but a little one would be cute.
So, other than, you know, we talked about no news is good news with K-State basketball, you talked recently about the highest ceiling for K-State basketball. And what I was getting at when I was talking about, you know, I get the itch for basketball eventually. They're not going to be Big 12 champs this year in all likelihood.
Right.
But I still think a lot of people are going to have that itch because you're coming off a Big 12 championship season. And then on top of that, I think it's going to be just as exciting of a team to follow along with.
I do too, man. I mean, it's something like you said, we wrote about it yesterday. We talked about it not as a length, but on here a little bit, you know, a week or so ago. But I think it will be really exciting because I think there'll be people, K-State fans, who probably undervalue this team a little bit. And I think it could be a rare scenario. We're going to see if it happens. Like, where K-State fans may be surprised how high this team is picked in the league. You know, I don't know if I've ever heard a K-State fan, you know, say, oh my goodness, we were picked third, why? Or we picked fourth, it's always too low, too low, too low. And depending on how people, you know, things break out and how they look at it, I could see a scenario where K-State fans think, well, they lost Wade, they lost Stokes, they lost Brown, they're starting over, that's bottom of the Big 12. And then, you know, the preseason predictions come out and they're fourth. You know, I could see that happening. Not that they will be. They could be fifth or sixth or seventh, whatever. But I think that's going to be the exciting thing, too, is it's going to surprise some people that I think there'll be a perception among at least local media, local to national, that the program is pretty stable and it's not going to become a ninth place in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, I think 4, 5, and 6 is probably the most realistic spot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even jumping up to 3 wouldn't surprise me at all because I think everybody would just be quick to say it's KU and Tech.
Yep.
But even Tech, I think we're just banking on.
And Tech might be great, but that whole roster is rebooted.
A couple of the holdovers, but other than that, we just think Chris Beard, he went to an Elite Eight and a Final Four. We'll see what can happen. Well, you know, in all honesty, Bruce Weber could have had the exact same season probably if Dean Wade doesn't get hurt because, you know, they could still have won that game against UC Irvine,
sure.
But K-State without Dean Wade is a different animal. And during that Oklahoma game to end the regular season, I was sitting in my chair there, and I thought to myself, they had all that energy going. They were going to win the Big 12. I thought, this is a team that could legitimately play in the Final Four and compete with whoever is on the other side there. And if they had Dean Wade, I think that would have happened.
It's always fascinating, you know, to think about. You asked me earlier what movie I'd pick, and I misunderstood the question, so I said Spider-Man Multiverse. You know, think about it, but the point I'm getting to here is the whole multiverse theory of, like, maybe there is a place somewhere where that doesn't happen. In K-State, you know, Dean Wade doesn't get hurt, and Barry Brown is 100% or close, and they do get to the Elite Eight of the Final Four. But it didn't happen, but I think you're saying an important thing. Like, it's really easy, and Tech deserves every piece of praise they get. I'm going to say that as clearly as I possibly can. This is not, oh, they're the same. Oh, no, Tech deserves every praise they deserve. But if you're just looking at a pure what they bring back, it's not close. K-State brings back a better roster of experienced players than Texas Tech. Doesn't mean Tech can't be better. They did a nice job in the transfer market. We know they had some good young guys who we didn't set, Kevin McCullough and that kind of thing. But, and I think it'd be fine to pick Tech second in the league. I mean, Baylor's going to be way up there, too. Baylor has a lot back. Oklahoma State, too, is going to be interesting. I agree.
I saw that last night. Some people already want to make Oklahoma State the butt of the joke in basketball.
Oh, no.
State is going to surprise some people quickly.
That team, K-State fans have no, and I'm not talking down to K-State fans. I'm going to explain this in a second. Have no idea about Oklahoma State because we're so ruined by beating, you know, by watching K-State beat them by 40 every time they play them, you have to think they're terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have that team that your team just owns, so you think they've got to be terrible. And that same, like, K-State would beat them by 40, and then one game later, they'd go to Lawrence and lose by 10, and the next game, go to Lubbock and lose by 2.
In overtime, you know?
Right.
Turner and Hooch.
Oh, I love Turner. That's a good one. That or A League of Their Own. Oh, those are both good ones. You know, I tell you what. But, yeah, that's the thing is, like, K-State's going to be, I think, up in that range with those schools. I think Kansas and Baylor have the most back and should be the first couple of teams picked. I think Texas Tech deserves some credit. Oklahoma State, though, that's what the point was.
Yeah.
They bring back DeZagua, Waters, McGriff, and Yorinay. And likely. They bring back all five starters. I don't have it exactly right, but they have a recruiting class, I want to say top 30, top 25.
I think they have 3-4 stars coming in.
I'm not saying they're going to be, but I don't think they'll be a top half Big 12 team. I'm not saying that, but they are going to be way better than a K-State fan. And I'm not, again, not pointing fingers. I'm just saying this is how we understand our team sometimes, than a K-State fan who thinks, oh, Okie State, that's the team we beat by 40 every time we play them.
They're probably, in my eyes, going to be better this coming year than they were under that year of Underwood that made the NCAA tournament.
That's a great question. I think
maybe they just have more known commodities coming back, and that's why I feel so good about them, and they're adding some good things. But
this is a great topic. Like, I mean, I think I'd agree with you. The difference is that team I'm forgetting. Who did Underwood? They had at least two guys who I thought were potentially like NBA/European pros on that team. And I think I think this Oklahoma State team would have more good players than that team did from a pure depth perspective. But if you holler that roster, they had a guard, right?
Jawan Statton,
right?
Jawan Evans,
right? NBA player, and didn't they have another wing too?
Like, well, Phil Forte was still there supposedly. Yeah. So
sure, who else? Give me some more names on that roster. Just rattle them off.
So Brandon Averett was a freshman. Uh-huh. Tavarius Shine was there.
Still there last year, yeah.
Jeffrey Carroll.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. So, yeah, they had two, like, high level. I mean, Carroll and Evans were NBA level high players, and I'm not sure this team has that. That Okie State team had two really, really good players, you know, Underwood inherited. I think this roster's better from top to bottom. I would stop just short of me saying that that team would be better than the Underwood team.
Yeah, I just think it's really fascinating to see how Oklahoma State had their little dip year, and now they're going to be right back
kinda,
to...
Kind of like Todd Reesing. Reesing never came back, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Todd Reesing
just
never
went away.
Back.
That was it. He lost to K-State and
disappeared.
Over. Played like six more games that year, lost them all.
Yeah. Who else in the Big 12, when it comes to basketball, do you think could be a surprise next season? Like, you mentioned Baylor. I think that maybe shocks some people, but when you really think about what they're going to have coming back and the fact that Scott Drew's as consistent as they come, that probably makes a lot of sense.
I'd say them, even though you're right. They're not. It's hard to call them a surprise in the sense that I bet when the polling comes out, I bet they get picked to finish second. And there'll probably be some people who try to be real courageous. You know, and I'm not trying to be critical of that either. I'm sorry for the tone. But who maybe consider Baylor to go first? They'll get a vote from Bill Self, I bet you, to win the league. Just a lot of experience back for Baylor. They do lose Mekhi Mason, of course, but they lost really their best player. You know, before Mekhi Mason took over, they'll have him back. Bandu was really, really big down the stretch. They have Mark Vitals back. Mario Kegler, I think, is back. The big kid who was like a D3 transfer, number 33, is at Ferguson. I can't remember. They'll have him back. They had Matthew Mayer, kind of a tall, Luke Axtell-looking guy. They just have a lot back. I think really the only real contributor they lose, at least to my memory, is Mekhi Mason. I think Baylor's going to be a really good team next year.
West Virginia will be another one that kind of rebounds because they're going to be interesting because we saw them pick it up towards the end of the season.
Good is a strong word, but they were okay at the end of the season.
When they lost the guys that, you know, were probably holding them back in some sense.
And I think Culver could be a Big 12 player of the year again.
Yeah.
They're Derek Culver down there because he is a problem. He is a big man.
Apollo 13.
He was in that.
Wow. How about that?
Apollo 13. I don't know if I've ever actually watched Apollo 13.
I haven't.
That's one of his best movies.
Yeah. Is it better than A League of Their Own?
Toy Story 2.
Yeah. I like Apollo 13 more than A League of Their Own. I love A League of Their Own. Toy Story 2, Apollo 13 is better.
What's better, Toy Story or Toy Story 2? Because Toy Story 2, I think, has a legitimate argument to be better than the first Toy Story.
I get them mixed up. Is Toy Story 2 the one with Lotso, or is that 3?
Lotso's in 3.
I don't know the story of Toy Story 2.
So Toy Story 2 is where Andy's family is getting ready to move. They're having a garage sale.
Yeah, and they get in the trash bag and they get put out on the curb. Is that Toy Story 2?
Well, so Woody ends up in the garage sale and he's missing his arm, and so the bigger dude that works like the
Do they go to the house the store place?
Yeah.
I didn't like it that much.
Oh, no.
Have I asked you? I'm sure you guys have read this on the internet because you're very savvy people, unlike myself. But you've heard the big plot hole in the Toy Story movies, right? Have you heard this discussion?
I haven't. We'll talk about it when we come back next.
That's what we're looking for. Should we sing this? I don't know all the words.
You got a friend in me.
I can't do that. What's his name, boy?
Randy Newman.
Randy Newman, yeah.
There was the first music and movies game we played, the tiebreaker and the final question was, The Circle of Life by Elton John from The Lion King. Uh-huh. And John's guess on who sang it was Randy Newman. And listen. there's a great clip of like us simultaneously going, oh!
Now listen, I didn't get Randy Newman for this right away, so make fun of me perhaps, but I would not be guessing Randy Newman for Circle of Life.
Terrence Newman.
But quickly, the plot hole, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
In Toy Story, you guys ready for this? Do you know this already, Mitt? Have you been looking it up? Good. Okay.
No.
So here's the problem, right? In the movie, what do the toys all do when the kid comes in the room?
They act like they're not alive.
Right. And why do they do that?
Don't want to blow their cover.
Exactly right. You know? Because they know they're toys, right? And they can't do that.
Yeah.
So why does Buzz Lightyear think he's a toy in the movie?
Yes. I think so, right?
No, he does not. That's part of the movie. He doesn't know he's a toy. He thinks he's a real space ranger.
Well, but that's okay. In the first one. After
in the first
that,
one.
He
in
understands
the
concept.
Yeah, so we'll stop there in the first one, right? So in the first movie, he does not know he's a toy. He, in fact, states definitively, I'm not a toy. I'm a real space ranger.
But
so why, when the kid comes in the room, does Buzz play dead?
Well, I think it depends on what time that happens during
the entire movie.
I think maybe just because everybody around him is doing it.
Is there a hesitation from Buzz when
no.
it first happens?
He just
though?
Goes down.
Well, doesn't Woody
just
like
goes
freak
down.
Out?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like a
Look
freak
this
out.
Up. That, there's lots of internet talk about this, you know? Like, and I'm sorry to blow the cover
way
on this
to go.
Whole
Pixar
thing.
Pixar screwed it all up.
Yeah, but why does Buzz? And yeah, that, and typically the answer is, well, he's just following the gang, you know? He doesn't anything else. He doesn't believe him for anything else. But when they do that, he's all of a sudden like, oh, I gotta fall down. I'm just saying, you got to think of this, okay, guys? Like, there needed to be a scene where they explain to him somehow, and he buys it.
Yeah, but would he, like, drag him off somewhere when he hears Andy coming or Andy's mom on his way? Like, the kids, like, the birthday party or whatever?
I mean,
when they're storming up the stairs?
Maybe. But what are you reading? What are you getting there? What kind of knowledge are you getting, Mason?
I don't know. I don't trust people on the internet. I just think that I would need to rewatch the first Toy Story and make this decision myself, try to explain it. I also think you're a horrible person for trying to ruin Toy Story.
It's something I read once, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's exactly right. How do I see this the same now? I mean, like, and I know, I think the thing you'd default to is he just, maybe it's in their DNA. Maybe they don't even know they're doing it. You know what I mean? Maybe they didn't make a choice to fall down on the kid. But they do. They do choose because there's sometimes the kid's around and they stay awake or they go hide or they go grab something else. So it's not just the presence of a kid forces them to stop. They choose to do it.
Well, yeah, because they don't want to blow their cover.
Which I agree with.
But so here's the thing.
But why does Buzz?
So Buzz thinks that he's there on a mission as a space ranger, so he's seeing a foreign person, a larger animal
okay,
him. So he's trying to not, you know, be seen.
And
he's trying to be undercover
dead.
There. So.
Because he's this courageous guy who's fighting everybody else, but
well,
he plays dead
he
for
knows
the kids.
That he's not going to take down that guy. He needs some help. That's why he's got to team up with his brethren. So to finish our Big 12 basketball conversation,
back into it.
We talked about West Virginia. How many teams do you think the Big 12 will get in the NCAA tournament, and who would be on the outside looking
Let's think
in?
Because
I think TCU is probably one.
TCU should be bad.
TCU and Oklahoma would be the two
Oklahoma,
that I say.
Oklahoma, probably. Well, let's see. KU's going to get in, assuming they're allowed.
Yeah.
Baylor.
I guess Texas is probably a question mark.
I think Texas is a little bit. They've got some young players who were thought to be better players than Jackson Hayes.
So, look, we still don't know if Shaka Smart's a good Power 5 coach.
Well, we might know if he actually or not at this point.
And
but
then, I mean, they're going to have
seven.
Some NBA-ready big man show up on campus that's going to be good, but not anything to be scared about.
Seven, because I think TCU's in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Oklahoma will be very good. And I think then, I'm just, you know, being a cop-out, but I think somebody else will not. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be, whether it's Texas.
West Virginia probably isn't there yet.
Yeah,
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
They're a fringe one. You know, some Oklahoma State, as much as we just, you know, praise them, they're still not like a lock, you know, to be in. So I would say somehow seven get in. And I think you're going to be missing TCU and Oklahoma and somebody else.
The good news is, though, I think we would all agree that barring a catastrophe, this K-State team is safe in the NCAA tournament.
I think
next
so.
Year.
I mean, I could see it. You know, you talk about ceilings and floors. We had that discussion on the board the other day too, a little bit. I mean, I could see a floor that's not a total disaster that sees them, you know, win 18, 19 games, go 7-11 in the league, and maybe go to the NIT. Like that could happen without being a catastrophe. But I think it would take you would look back at the season and be able to, you know, paint a picture of pretty bad luck if that's what happened,
yeah.
I think.
I guess,
at least.
I feel really good about the situation that they're in right now.
I do, too. I do, too.
One last thing I'll talk about on basketball. I thought of this coming over here today. Would the NCAA tournament be more fun if they had less spots for the first and second round so they had more games at the same location?
I think so.
So you have more basketball going on, and it's just
and sit there and watch. And I think part of the problem, too, and it's an awesome, awesome thing, so we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or whatever, but that would be great, more basketball to watch, and better crowds at the games. Because, I mean, some of those games, there's nobody at them. And if instead of being whatever, there are eight schools at a site or four, whatever, if there were, you know, 16, that sounds like a lot. And I'm sure, again, I'm sure people, if the NCAA is this, that's crazy, we can't for this, and this reason, I'm sure you're right. But if that were the case, games all day long in that venue, and the place would be full, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, if you can go you could go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, have a lot of fun doing it. I think that's...
One in Manhattan, one in Topeka, one in Junction.
Yeah, fire up the Expo Center.
Yeah, the TPC.
Yeah, Tony's Pizza that's Event correct, Center. Yeah. I was wondering at first, like, the TPC?
Yeah, the TPC.
This guy, what's he talking about? Okay, I've teased it long enough for you and Mitch. I want to talk about the most entertaining baseball that is happening all year.
Wouldn't take much.
It's going tonight. The College World Series is happening in Omaha. Michigan and Vanderbilt playing game three, winner take all, ends the college baseball season. That's not what I'm talking about. I told you guys that it is the oldest rivalry known to man since the turn of the last century. So after 1900, these are the biggest rivals in the world, and they get to get together for one exciting game of baseball tonight. Can you guys, do you have any guess on what it is?
No.
Okay.
Is it Hutchinson versus your old school and some alumni game?
It's going to be two, like, not Major League Baseball teams who we've never heard of and no one gives any hooey about, and he's going to tell us about it.
The Congressional Baseball Game. So the United States Congress every year plays a baseball game, Republicans versus Democrats, where they get all these congressmen together. They wear uniforms representing some place in their state. So in past years, like Roger Marshall has worn a K-State uniform.
How about that?
Representative Yoder has worn a KU jersey. They're getting together, and no matter the age, no matter the talent level, they are playing a baseball game at Nationals Park tonight. Major League Stadium is where they're playing this. I think it's a hilarious idea. I think it's a lot of fun, a good way to raise money, and a good way for two sides that typically don't like each other to come together.
I mean, I probably agree with every bit of that. Like, it'd be more fun if I just bannered back and said, no, it's a bad idea. But no, what's wrong? I mean, it sounds pretty cool. I don't disagree.
I would not watch it under any circumstances. I watch it every year. What I think is more fun about it is that 538 went through and they tracked the stats of the game since 2009 and put together legitimate numbers, you know, like WAR, wins above replacement. And
who's good?
A guy from Louisiana, Cedric Richmond, has a 2.5 WAR compiled.
Is that good?
Since 2009. That's the best. Everybody else is just barely
who's
hovering
the
around zero.
Do they have a worst player?
I mean, there are some bad ones in there. I'm not sure if it's specifically says who the worst is because that seems a little mean-spirited.
Well, if you're going to track their
stats, man.
That's how it goes.
But
we can't say we're going to track their stats and say, but we're not going to tell you who's the worst.
Former Representative Steve Largent, the Football Hall of Famer, far more effective for the GOP. He went 5-1 with a 2.44 ERA and six starts from 1995 to 2001.
Wow. So they use real – I was curious, too, like a pitching machine or is it underhand toss? Like, they get pitchers out there.
No, they have legitimate pitchers out there. And so they say that Cedric Richmond is such a talent. The Democrat from Louisiana has amassed 2.5 WAR in just 8 games. That would work out to 50 WAR in a 162-game season, comparing him to Mike Trout, basically, if you also combine him with Max Scherzer.
If you're a good athlete in this, right?
Oh, you're
what's his name? Cedric?
Cedric
Richmond. A good athlete. Can't you just, isn't there no chance you could just lay down a bunt, beat out the throw to first, steal second, steal third, wait for pass ball, steal? You just play the Little League strategy.
Pretty much.
But at a higher level.
So,
yeah.
Cedric Richmond has a 2.20 ERA.
Oh, he's a pitcher.
He pitches, but he also hits. He's hit .652.
Yep.
And has hit the game's only home run in the last 10 years.
This guy, holy cow. Tell you what.
So
if we were fantasy drafting for this.
Cedric Richmond, number one.
Cedric Richmond.
You'd be paying up to try and get up there for the top spot. So my question is, what other group of people that aren't true athletes would you want to get together to play a sport? You also get to name the sport. I think the obvious one is
basketball.
We talk about wanting to have like a media game for something. So like a media game
basketball would be a lot of fun.
You might as well put CNN against Fox News. Just let them
one of those things. But it's the same.
Just go at it.
But it's kind of the same as this.
This is
about
to be political. You know.
I mean, I feel like you could just say countries, but then it becomes the Olympics. You know, they already do that.
Yeah,
if that's true. That kind of thing. I think media. I do think sports media is fun though. Not just because we're sports media and we're egotistical and want to be on. I don't really want to be on the floor, but I think it'd be fun to watch. You know, it's always fun to watch people like us who talk about sports and then like put us in that spot and everything and watch them really go at each other. That would be good, but it needs to be serious. Like there needs to be something on the line.
I agree.
To where you can't be like, oh, I'm just messing around because it's no, it matters. Like if you don't win this game, you can't cover this team for the next year.
Like this, I don't know that the congressional baseball game, you actually. The winning side gets anything other than just bragging rights. But I think when you get a full team out there, you're playing a legitimate game in front of a crowd and at a major league stadium, I think that ups the competition level to some point.
It's a similar topic, but I think fun would be to take existing teams and make them play each other in different sports. You know what I mean? So like force K-State Hay basketball teams to play a 7-on-7 football game. Like that would be fun. Like that would be fun to watch. That would be very entertaining.
Yeah, I think. Maybe they should do that every year.
I would watch it.
The congressional game, who usually wins those games? Is it pretty back and forth?
I mean, the Democrats have dominated recently.
I bet the others, when Largent was pitching, they were probably winning.
So I think it all just comes down to, one, who's going to have the younger roster, and then, two, just the fact that you find a guy that's in his groove, you throw him out there on the mound, he's going to mow guys down. Because it mentions in the article that they've also had guys clock out at least 80 miles per hour pitching. And so you're going to get to a point where not many guys are going to be able to even hit 80 miles an hour.
I just wouldn't swing. I would just wait for them to throw four balls and hopefully walk.
That's probably the best way to go about it. Yeah. But media basketball game, I think that'd be fun. We should really try and get that going. John was trying to find ideas to...
Are we
going to
play against a different school's media, or is it intra-K-State media?
I think it should be intra-K-State.
It'd be easier to organize because we're all here together.
And you have two teams.
Draft it up.
Bigger
teams. Two captains draft it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe you let Bruce Weber and Chris Lowry be the two to pick the teams.
That would be good. And then coach us and see how we handle coaching, too. That would be also entertaining. Boy. And then he has to talk about his in post game. Like, yeah, I told Mason that's not his shot. He that hook shot, you know, is in a really good look when he backs down for 8 seconds. But he took it, and, you know, wasn't our day.
Oh, I mean, I was hitting those in
3-on-3. I know you were, actually.
But he showed up in the play hard chart.
Yeah.
That's true.
Did you have something over there?
Yeah, I do.
You had a thought.
Is it about Toy Story or Tom Hanks?
You spoiled the whole bit. I mean, we've been doing this gimmick the whole show. It's been hilarious. It's been everyone's awesome. I've been getting texts about it. I've been getting, you know, Twitters. And then you've been doing such a great job. And then he's like, oh, you're going to say a Tom Hanks movie?
The Polar Express.
Okay.
Oh. Hot chocolate.
That's right.
More Tom Hanks when we come back on the game. Yeah, you got me, Mitch. I don't know what
I have
it is.
A guess. Give me a clue. Give me some sort of clue. Any clue about this?
Daytime TV.
Is it Geraldo's music?
Close.
Oh.
You're in the
Donahue?
No.
Okay, what is it?
Think fighting.
Fighting? Oh, I don't know. I mean.
That was the theme in most of the 90s for Jerry Springer.
Really?
Ah.
Yes.
I was all over. Wow. I went a little too far back though. You know?
Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah. Phil Donahue. We need to play the Dallas theme song. You know that song?
I have it on my list.
You do? Okay. Yes. Well, I love that song. Ba-da-da-da-da. You would love it too. And you love the Mavs. It should be the Dallas theme should be your entrance
Let's
music.
Go Mavs.
I'm not even... I'm just now hearing this and having this thought go into my head. Like, you should walk into any room to the Dallas TV show
thing. Do you remember the show The Waltons?
Yes.
It was from the
70s. I used
70s
to actually watch it.
Yeah, me too. But John's guess on that was Dallas. And I think he brought up Bonanza as well. And Bonanza is a theme everybody recognizes.
All over the place.
You played the Bonanza theme at one point, and John questioned what it was. I was all over it.
Do you have the Dallas theme to play for him? Like, Like, is it like
I don't have it.
Okay. I was gonna say he'll queued up. I just think that's all of a sudden you're that's you. You're Dallas.
So
you're J.R. Ewing,
Mason Voth, Mitch Fortner, Matt Hall from KC Online here. As the game, we're in hour two. This is the deepest we've gone all week. Not because we've done a horrible job while John's been gone, but because the Royals aren't playing tonight. So that's the real reason. There is some breaking news in the sports world. There is a new league forming. We know about the AAF. We know about XFL.
They didn't fail yet.
The KSO, man, 2K League is firing up, and the draft is ongoing right now.
We're day two of the draft, right, technically?
Yeah, day three,
is
maybe.
Is it day three of the draft?
I don't know. I think it's day two.
Day two, okay, yeah. KSO, you hear stuff like came in a lot, 2K a lot, right? Us guys all the time. And so we're never like all together. Usually we get three, four of us, maybe five if things are going, you know, perfectly. My brother-in-law comes and plays sometimes. You know, we use Greg Woods. He's come. There's other ancillary figures who can help us in this league too. But there's six of us, mm-hmm. you know, who typically get together and play from the KSO and the K-Man, of course. And we said, somebody said, why don't we just make a league and I'll draft our teams and we get together and just play with those teams.
Yeah.
And so we're in day two of our draft. 11-man rosters is the rule we've said. We're going to play 6-minute quarters. That's what we're going to do. Any current player eligible, and we're almost through it. I have 2 picks left. So that means we're probably sitting in the 10th round right now.
Yeah. We're waiting on Mitch, actually, to make his next pick.
You just picked.
I'll make it on the air if you want me to.
Okay.
Wait,
so
hang on. Let me.
First of all, you got to tell them what team you are. You got to tell them a little bit about what you're building. And
wait,
then
Mitch,
make your
let
pick.
Me pull up the draft music first.
So, okay, well, I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
Okay.
I actually have, like, this whole big board of, like, 100 players. I'm taking this very seriously.
I have a big board that I did on a Word document at home. I don't have it with me, so I took a picture of it. And I tell you what, you guys have been picking guys left and right off my big board. Like, you've done a good job, all you guys.
Okay.
So who's up? But before you play that, Mitch is up.
So maybe I should have just announced my most recent pick for
do that. Tell them the team. Tell them kind of what your goal is with your roster.
So
and announce your pick.
My team. We're wearing the Mavs uniforms because you know, of course,
it's only just the uniforms you're wearing. Yeah. We reset the whole roster.
Yeah. So Dallas Mavericks and my team. I'm all about shooting the ball.
I know.
So I'm down. I'm needing some big guys right now. So with the whatever pick. And the inaugural
like the 60,
KSO
60
Man
something.
2K League draft, the Dallas Mavericks select.
Can you turn that up a little bit?
Lowry Markkanen from the Chicago Bulls.
Nice, nice. Very valuable player on 2K. He's long, you know, real 6'10", 6'11". I think a B-plus three-point shooter. He has a natural stroke. It doesn't take you forever to figure out how to do the shot release with him. He's a good athlete. He's a good – I'm a Bulls fan, so I'm biased, but I like that. I like to pick a market in there. Good value here in round 10, I believe.
Yeah. Mitch, are you ready to make your pick live on the air?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
So you guys
– So Mitch
banter.
Has taken this very seriously. I think we all have, but
we'll
he printed out a sheet of 100 players, and he's crossing off when the top 100 go.
You got to be ready. You don't want to just come here with no plan and get stuck with somebody.
Mitch Kiper Jr.
Correct. That's who he is. For me, you know, I am the Chicago Bulls, but roster reset, and I am putting tons and tons of value on length and defense.
Yes.
And that's what that's my game. Everyone has their different things. Like, if you watch this play, it's a video game. I know it's stupid. I understand as you listen to this. But it's not just some rolled out there, everyone just shoots. It's really hard to score on that game if you don't know what you're doing. And everyone plays different styles. So, like, you will try to shoot threes, play a pretty brand of basketball. You or Flanders play the prettiest brand of basketball. Kurtz is too.
Yeah.
My style is literally the old Frank Martin, like K-State style, where I'm going to play as hard as I can on defense. In my offense, I'm just going to go to the basket, throw it at the basket, and then either get it my own offensive board or hope somebody else does and put it back. That's all I'm going to do.
And Mitch probably plays the best defense. Well, does he? Mitch lets the computer play the best defense in the game.
Not anymore.
He does. You know, he's been playing
by
himself.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Are you ready to make your pick yet?
He's not. He's struggling.
No, I'm still trying to figure this out.
I mean...
Who's after? Am I after him, or do I got to wait for
D.Y.? So here are the teams. I'm the Mavs. Mitch is the Knicks because he's Mr. New York boy. You took the Bulls. Kurtz is the Nugs.
Right.
Grant Flanders is the Pistons, and D.Y. is the Kings of all teams. So
I think he just – D.Y., you know, Mr. Not K-State, because he's not from here, is the joke, picks the purple uniforms. Like, that's all you're picking teams for, is for the uniform combinations. Yeah. Unless you're like a Bulls fan or Mavs fan. He's a Cavs fan. And he said, no, I'm not. The Cavs have terrible uniforms. Ugly. The Kings have a very good on that game selection uniforms. Not just the purples and the blacks. Some nice, like, blue,
take
like,
it back
powder
to the KC
blue.
Kings?
Yeah, those powder blue throwbacks. Those are nice. I'm going to, just so people have a sense of this, before Mitch ever makes his pick, here was the first two rounds of picks. I had the number one pick for the Bulls. I took Giannis and Antetokounmpo. Derek was second with the Kings. He took Kevin Durant. Mitch, third with the Knicks, took LeBron James. Mason took Steph Curry, number four for the Mavs.
Good value.
I guess. I probably could have got him in the second round. Kawhi Leonard to Flando's Pistons. That's a good value at fifth. The only two players I considered at one were Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. How about that?
Not even Kevin Durant.
Didn't consider him. Nope.
See, Kevin Durant would have been my number one.
Not my style of
player.
But
that's true.
And then the second round, snake draft. So Kurtz gets Paul George and Dame Lillard for the Nuggets. Flando adds Klay Thompson, who he's fantastic with.
And I was wanting Klay to go with my Steph, but...
Anthony Davis to you, which I do think that's a good value.
That was good value.
Mitch takes James
Harden. All right, so I
know
my pick.
We're not done. We're not ready. Mitch takes James Harden. Derek, Joel Embiid, and I take the most overrated player on the game, but he's a great 2K player, which is Ben Simmons.
Correct. All right, Mitch, and say your team affiliation and what pick it is. And
what are you looking for?
Wait
what are you
the
looking
sound.
For?
The thing is, though, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Okay, that's
even
better.
Even
better. Here we go.
Hit the music.
All right, Mitch, with the whatever pick in the KSO Man 2K League draft, the New York Knicks select.
Bojan Bogdanovic.
Oh,
he was on the Pacers one. Is that who you're taking? He was on my list. 6'8", A-plus three-point shooter on that game.
Now, how off was I with that name?
I don't know. That's how I would have probably said it. There's three guys with very similar. There's the two like small forward guard.
Yeah, Bogdanoviches.
And then there's also my Boban, the center Boban.
Marjanovic.
That's a reasonable pick. I like that.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
He's length and shooting is what you're looking for right now this part of the draft, and he just got both of those.
So now DY is on the clock.
Put it in the group text so DY knows, and maybe he makes his pick.
DY on the clock for us on the game when we come back. Ask us anything, and I hope Mitch plays Gloria.
I played the Dallas theme for you in the break.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I loved it. I do think that should be my intro now. So, before we get to Ask Us Anything, we got a tweet into the show from a JL Kurtz. Still doesn't believe that there's a show called Bonanza. Not buying it.
Used to be a restaurant called Bonanza, too, back in the day. A little buffet place. Thought they were the same thing. They're not.
Would you like to do the honors?
I've never done this before.
Pull one of these out.
These feel okay. Let's see.
He's got one.
All right. Okay. This is from Jay Compton 10, who's a member of K-State Online, and he asks, "What is the best Pop-Tart flavor?"
Oh,
this is a tough question.
Yeah, it is tough.
There's a lot of good ones.
There are some good ones.
I would say the one that comes to mind to me is, I don't know if they still do it. It may have been a limited time thing, but the peanut butter one that didn't have like frosting on the top. It was just peanut butter inside. It had no frosting on the top, but it had like a sugar cookie type sugar on the top of it. That was my favorite. Peanut butter, no frosting.
That would probably be John's favorite, it sounds like.
I haven't had a Pop-Tart in forever.
Well, congratulations.
I'm going to go with chocolate chip cookie dough.
I would agree.
That's
chocolate
a good
chip
one.
Cookie dough is very good.
I love chocolate
chip cookie
dough.
That probably would have been my pick. So to be different, my number two, s'mores. The s'mores is very good. And also just the original strawberry I really like.
I don't like any of the fruit-flavored ones. No thanks on that. They got a hot fudge sundae now, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Brown cinnamon sugar is a dark horse.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. But you mentioned that, and I think toaster strudel. If I'm going to do brown cinnamon sugar, just give me a toaster
strudel.
Oh, man.
Toaster strudel.
You know?
That's high-quality living right there.
It is. I remember when those came out. That's a good question, though. Do I keep these or throw it away? Do you keep them or throw
them
away?
We'll throw it away, but we need to remember tomorrow to ask John his favorite Pop-Tart, because I'd be very interested to hear what that is. It's been a good show today. We've done a lot of productive things and a lot of not-so-productive things.
I mean, look at this. You had Bernie Hanian. You talked some serious golf stuff.
The first two segments were probably the strongest.
Very strong. We had some good K-State quizzes. We talked some 2K. We've talked a lot of Big 12 basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know. We talked K-State football recruiting.
Yeah.
In hindsight, pretty good show.
It was heavy.
Do you have anything else you can add to the show?
Tom Hanks movies.
I thought you were going to say
Hanks.
One.
Ah.
Best gimmick we ever did until you ruined it in the last 8 seconds of the show. You, Mason.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Philadelphia.
Come in and see your neighbors at Carpenter.